Welcome. My name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter number 8. The book of 2 Corinthians and chapter number 8. We're still marching through and we're starting to get to the downhill slide of this series of the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul. We're more than halfway done now and we're starting to get to some of the exciting times of the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul. He's currently on the process of finishing his third missionary journey. He's already been dealing with the Church of Corinth, and one of the people that's been important and instrumental in dealing with him in the Church of Corinth was his other son of the faith, which would be Titus. He has two specific sons of the faith that is mentioned, Timothy and Titus. Both of these young men, he had the privilege of leading the Lord and training, and they became very important parts of the missionary team and starting some of these churches all across the world. And if you don't mind, let's see where the Apostle Paul takes time to mention Titus in the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter number 8. And we're going to do a character study on this young man that the Apostle Paul led to the Lord, that he trained, and how he was used, and the character of this man. So look with me in the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, notice with me if you don't mind, starting in verse number 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 16, the Word of God says this: "But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. For indeed he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you. And we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. And not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with his grace, which is administered to us by the glory of the same Lord and declaration of your ready mind. Avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance which is administered by us, providing for honest things, and not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. And we have sent with them our brother, whom we have oftentimes proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent upon the great confidence which I have in you. Whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you. Or our brethren be inquired of, they are the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ. Wherefore show ye to them and before the churches the proof of your love and our boasting on your behalf." And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you please mark a phrase that we find in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and notice as it talks about Titus in verse number 23, 2 Corinthians chapter 28 verse 23, where it says, "Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper." Titus, the partner and fellow helper. And with the Lord, we'd like to do a character study on Titus tonight, explaining him and showing him that he was a partner and fellow helper. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come up to you now, we're just asking that you would just open up our minds, open up the Bible in a special way, that we can learn more about this real man who was used of you in a special way, that we can learn of his character, learn of how he is described, and that we ourselves can draw application to our own lives because of the life that this man lived, the example that he was. Again, I just ask for your help, that you would be with every part of this service, that you would be with it as we explain this man, and that you would just fill me with your precious Spirit. We thank you for this church folks here. We're thankful for how much they mean to us. And I'm asking that you continue to perfect them, continue to grow them through your precious Word. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Titus, who is described as a partner and fellow helper. Now we'll come back to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 in just a second. But if you don't mind, turn with me to the book of Titus in chapter number 1. And the first thing I'd like to show is his conversion. In Titus in chapter number 1, I want to show you his conversion. We're going to be looking at a couple different passages that describe Titus as the Apostle Paul interacts with him. Titus was very special to the Apostle Paul. He was one of Paul's missionary team. He was another son in the faith, someone that the Apostle Paul had trained and invested in. And let's see, as the Apostle Paul is writing this letter to Titus, in the book of Titus in chapter number 1. And notice as we start by his conversion, notice how the Apostle Paul addresses Titus in Titus chapter 1 and verse number 4. Titus chapter 1 and verse number 4, it says this: "To Titus, my own son after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior." Now, as Paul is writing to Titus and he's writing this letter to him, he's addressing him and reminding him that, "Hey, Titus, my own son." Now, it's not his physical son, but how is he Paul's son? After the common faith. What is the common faith, by the way? It's the faith that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. That what happened is that the Apostle Paul had the opportunity to meet Titus, who, by the way, was a Gentile. He was not a Jewish man. He was a Gentile. And the Apostle Paul was able to meet him on his missionary journeys. And he took the time to tell Titus the story of Jesus Christ. That because of our sin, that we owed God a price. But Jesus came down, robed himself in flesh, and dwelt among us. And then he died to pay the price that we owed him, and that all that was necessary is for us to accept the free gift that God had offered. And there was a time in his life where Titus listened to the Apostle Paul and he bowed his head and accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And that meant something to the Apostle Paul. This is someone he led to the Lord himself. As his conversion is going on, we watch him in the book of Galatians in chapter 2, as he's mentioned. Galatians in chapter number 2. We're studying the man of Titus and how he was a great blessing to the Apostle Paul. So much that the Apostle Paul mentions him quite a few times, and he was very important in those journeys. In the book of Galatians in chapter number 2, Galatians in chapter number 2, once again, the Apostle Paul is explaining what's going on. Notice with me in the book of Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 1. It says, "Then 14 years after I went again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also." Now, remember, we had talked about that the Apostle Paul and Barnabas had traveled in his first missionary journey. Well, as they had traveled around, he grabbed Titus during his first missionary journey and brought him from Antioch and brought him down to Jerusalem. Remember in Acts 15, that Jerusalem Council, Titus was one of the young men that he brought down with him from the Church of Antioch. So he had been traveling with the Apostle Paul since his first missionary journey. And so this is a young man that the Apostle Paul led to the Lord, that he took time to disciple, he took time to teach, and he developed the same heart that the Apostle Paul had, and he could trust him to be used. He had been with the Apostle Paul for quite a while. And so that's a little bit about his conversion, that the Apostle Paul led him to the Lord. Then he also discipled him. So no wonder the Apostle Paul can say, "My son," after the common faith. "This is my son. It's just like a son to me." Titus was very important to the Apostle Paul. But not only do we see Titus with his conversion, we also see Titus at Corinth. Titus in Corinth. Turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter number 2. The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And as you're turning there, may I remind you of some of the history? On the second missionary journey, Paul started the church in Corinth. He was there for a year and a half. And after a time, he sent Titus to Corinth to check on the progress and the work with the people. And so Paul just didn't leave the church of Corinth by itself. He sent Titus time and time again to go check on the people. And Titus began to get a heart for these people. He knew who was the people who were the pillars. He knew who the people were that were going to be there Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. He knew who the people were who were faithful to the church. He knew the ones who loved the Lord. He grew to know that church quite a bit. Notice with me, as he's now mentioned in the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter number 2. Notice as the Apostle Paul addresses this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, notice with me in verse 12. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord, and I had no rest in my spirit, because I found not Titus, my brother. But taking my leave of them, I went from thence to Macedonia. Now remember, we've been explaining in the last several sessions that Paul had wrote a letter, a rebuking letter to the church of Corinth, because they were full of flesh. They had all kinds of things going on. And so Paul had sent Titus ahead to see how they responded, to see how they went. He knew that if he sent Titus, Titus was someone who wasn't a stranger, someone that the church people knew, that he could give an evaluation of how they were going. Well, again, we had explained that the Apostle Paul had went to Troas, and it was there he grew very, very sick. And it was his darkest day, and he still hadn't heard from Titus. He didn't know what was going on with the church of Corinth. And it was something that was a concern to him. But notice again, with the idea of Titus, thinking about him as the person, who did Paul trust to deal with the church of Corinth who's in rebellion? He sent Titus. Titus was someone he could trust. You know, there are some people that you just can't trust. You know, there are some preachers who I don't mind listening to, and if they preached in the area, I'd probably show up to a meeting, but I wouldn't have come here. You say, why? Well, because of how they deal with people. I know there's some preachers that are well-meaning, but I don't want some preachers to get up here and call the ladies heifers and Jezebels and stuff like that. You understand that that's not appropriate. There's a difference between hard preaching and harsh preaching. There's some preachers that will come and they think it's their duty to come, evangelist or whatnot, to blow up the church, to stir up as many problems as possible. Well, that's not what we desire. You know, we want to bring in someone who's going to be a help. We want to bring in someone who's going to have the same idea as the pastor, and we're going to go the same direction, not cause friction, not blow things up, not try to convince people to go a different way. We want to do something that will bring in a support. So when the church of Corinth is in rebellion, the church of Corinth is having issues, he trusted Titus, that Titus wasn't going to stir up a mess, that Titus wasn't going to open mouth and insert foot. And now everybody's offended at Titus. He knew he could trust Titus because he loved the people. He had the Apostle Paul's heart, that he was someone who could be trusted with this very delicate situation. And so he sent Titus with that news. Notice in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 7, as the Apostle Paul is still continuing with his lesson, he goes back and explains what's going on. The book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 7. Good. 2 Corinthians chapter number 7. And in this passage here, what he's doing is he's talking about the great comfort where he's been comforted by. And he's giving the comfort that, guess what? The apostle, that Titus comes back and he gives a report about the things that's going on. And what happens is he's comforted by it. He's comforted with what's going on. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 6. It says, "Nevertheless, God that comforted those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus." Now again, the Apostle Paul had been waiting for news. How are they responding? Where's Titus at? Is he all right? This is my son. Where is he at? And finally, Paul got the comfort that he needed. Titus comes back, bearing good tidings, giving the comfort that the people had responded well. And this was exactly what the Apostle Paul needed in dealing with the church of Corinth, and especially with his health failing and the things going on in his own life. Oh, it was good to hear good news from a far land. It was one of those things that, you know, sometimes when you're feeling down, sometimes when you're sick, sometimes it's that good news that is that spark for recovery. Oh, he finally got the report from Titus. Oh, it did his heart good to see his son come back and tell him what was going on. Notice as it goes on, some more dealing with the church of Corinth and dealing with Titus specifically. Notice in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, where we had started by reading earlier tonight. Notice 2 Corinthians in chapter number 8. Now, the Apostle Paul sends finishes writing the book of 2 Corinthians. And as he's finishing up, he's going to send the letter of 2 Corinthians back to Titus. So Titus gets back and says, "Here I am, the Apostle Paul. Let me tell you all the things that's going on." The Apostle Paul says, "Great, I needed to hear this. I got great comfort. Let me tell you the things that's been going on in my life, Titus. And now I'm comforted. I'm so glad. God's still good. God's still right." And he writes this letter. And as he's writing the letter, he already has plans. He's going to send this letter back to Titus and says, "Go back and tell them this letter. You go back and deliver this. You go back and encourage them." And he says, "Yes, sir." But notice what's going on as he's writing 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And he's giving instruction to the church of Corinth dealing with Titus. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 16. "But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you." Now, what he's doing is he's going on and explaining that he had a heart for the church of Corinth. And he had to write this letter. And he's sorry that they were offended by it, if they were. But he had to tell them the truth. And now he's saying, guess what? Titus has the same heart. I'm not sending a hireling. I'm not sending some minion. I'm sending someone that has a heart for you. Someone that has a heart for the church. Someone that wants the church to succeed. Someone who's invested in it. This Titus has the same heart. Verse 17. "For indeed, he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you." Paul said, "I didn't have to beg him. I didn't have to prod him." You know, Titus said, "Hey, Paul, you need someone to go back? I'll be willing to go. I like that church. I want to help that church." That he had the heart. He wanted to go back. He wanted to be a help. You know, there's sometimes that people are forced to do something. Well, that has a different spirit. He wanted to go. He wanted to be a blessing. Verse number 18. "And we have sent with him the brother, whose praise it is in the gospel throughout all the churches, that not only, but who was chosen of the churches to travel with us of this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord and declaration of your ready mind, avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance, which is administered by us." Now, Titus had come back and said, "You know what? They're so right with the Lord right now. They want to go. They hear that there's other churches that need some finances. So we have a missions program going on, and they've given it to missions." Now, back then, remember, they don't have banks. They don't have PayPal. You have to transfer the money some way. And this is a lot of miles. So you're not just going to give the money bag to any old guy you get off the street or some church member. "Hey, can I get a volunteer who's going to carry the money bags?" Well, sure. Titus was someone you could trust with finances. That you go, he knows Titus. This isn't a stranger carrying your money. This is someone you trust. This is someone who can be counted on. This is someone who's not going to reach in and take some of himself. This is someone who has integrity, someone who has character. And he says, we're sending other people with him as accountability, so he's not by himself. But you know who Titus is. He's someone who can be trusted. Notice in verse number 20, "Avoiding this, that no man should blame us in the abundance which is administered by us, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. And we have sent with them our brother, whom we've oftentimes proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent upon the great confidence which I have in you." That they also sent a partner with Titus, and both of these people are trusted. Both of these people are recommended by several churches. Both of these people have character that has been proven. Verse 23, "And whether any do inquire of Titus," Paul says, "All right, now if anybody does have any questions about Titus, let me tell you about who he is. He is my partner and my fellow helper concerning you." He says, "Let me tell you about Titus. Titus is someone who's my partner. He's not just someone who I tell what to do. He's someone who's equally invested in your church. He's equally invested in seeing you succeed. He's equally invested. He's my partner, but he's also my fellow helper. He's someone who will be a help." You know, we all know people who will show up at work meetings and whatnot, and they make good supervisors, but not good helpers, right? They like to go and chat with people, but they don't work. This is Titus. He's my fellow helper. He's someone who's going to get into it. He's going to get his hands dirty. He's going to do what it takes. This is the character of Titus. So who is Titus? He's a man of integrity, a man of discretion, a man of zeal that could be trusted not only with a church to help spiritually, but he's also someone who's able to help and be trusted with finances. That speaks a lot about the character of a man. That someone that you trust and you're not even worried about. You know it's in good hands. You're not worried about if anything's missing. You don't have to go behind with a balance sheet. Now, the accountability is there and he's glad for it. But it's someone that you wouldn't even have a passing thought for. You knew this is someone that could be counted on. That speaks a lot for the character of who Titus is. A man of integrity, that his integrity is not even brought into question. What is integrity, by the way? Integrity is doing what's right even when no one else is looking. Integrity is doing what's right even when no one else is looking. That means that when you can get away with it and no one would ever know, your character, your integrity says, I'm not going to do it. There's never even any doubt. You know, who you are is not who you are in public. It's who you are in private. That's who you truly are. That's your character. Integrity speaks of character. Integrity speaks of who you are in private. Are you consistent in your public life as well as your private life? Or do you put on a face when you're in front of people? Oh, I'm around church people, I need to act a certain way. Oh, I'm around secular people, I need to act a certain way. Oh, I'm around work people, so I need to act a certain way. Integrity is being consistent. Integrity is doing what's right. It's not right to drink in front of church people. It's not right to drink with secular people. It's not right to drink with church people. It's not good right to drink with work people. That integrity is doing what's right. It's not right to laugh at dirty jokes with church people. It's not right to laugh at dirty jokes around secular people or work people. That this is integrity. That Titus was consistent in his private life as well as his public life. That speaks volumes. Are you a person of integrity? Is it something that people say, I trust that person. I know that person is going to do what's right. I know if that person goes on vacation, they're going to be in church somewhere. Or is it, well, I hope they're going to be somewhere. I hope that they make it somewhere. What is it that integrity, that, you know, the person of integrity, I don't have to ask, are you reading their Bible? I know they're reading their Bible. That's someone of integrity, that they're consistent, whether the pastor asks or not. You know that there's going to be integrity. That's who Titus was. And that's a good example for us. What type of people do church people need to be? People of integrity, people of character, people that can be trusted with teaching a Sunday school class, trusted with finances, trusted to do what's right, even if they could get away with doing something else. That's integrity. Now, we talked about Titus's conversion, that the Apostle Paul led him to the Lord and discipled him. We examined Titus as he dealt with the church of Corinth, and he was a great help and a great assistant to the Apostle Paul dealing with that church, because Paul couldn't be everywhere, but Titus is bouncing back and forth. Now, by the way, that takes a lot. This isn't just going down the street or going to the next town. He is traveling thousands of miles, bouncing back and forth, trying to find where Apostle Paul is, to Corinth, back and forth. He went from Ephesus to Corinth, Corinth back to Ephesus, back again to Ephesus, back to Troas. Back. You know, he had to find the Apostle Paul. That's a lot of traveling. If you look at a map, that's going from continent to continent, by the way, going from Asia to Europe. And he was willing to do it. He was glad to do it. But we see where he ended up. Turn with me back to the book of Titus, and we could see his conversion. We could see as he dealt with Corinthians. Then we could see as he deals with the island of Crete. We deal with the island of Crete. Back to Titus. As you turn to Titus, I want to remind you that this is in a section of the Bible called the personal epistles. Sometimes people call it the pastoral epistles. That the book of 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, and Philemon are written to individuals and not to churches. That changes the context of it. And as you deal with Titus, as you deal with 1 Timothy, as you deal with 2 Timothy, you have the Apostle Paul, who is writing not to a regular church folk, not to the regular people who's sitting down. He's writing to the pastor or the overseer of that church. And he's giving them instructions. By the way, it's the pastor's job, according to 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus, to know who's teaching a Sunday school class. class and what is being taught. That's the pastor's responsibility. It is the pastor's responsibility to guard doctrine and guard what is coming into a church. It is the pastor's job to set things in order, and we'll see that in just a second. Notice with me in the book of Titus in chapter number 1. Notice as he's addressing Titus in chapter 1, verse number 4 again. To Titus, my own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. For this cause I left thee in Crete. Why? That thou should settest in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I have appointed thee. Now notice what he was sent to do. Paul sent his son in the faith to do two things, specifically in verse number 5. First of all, to set things in order. If you want to know the hardest job of the pastor, it's to set things in order. Or in fact, to know what to put into order and what not to set in order. You know, there's some things you have to labor in. You understand that there's an order and function, and we live in a world that's out of order. May I give you a light example? Do you know that there's a proper way to wear a baseball cap? There is. You wear it straight on. Now, to wear it on, it's tilted to its side, flip up, over to the side. It may not bother you, but you know that's out of order. And it may not be a big deal because this world is out of order. But that's a hard thing for a pastor to do, is to set things in order. And so he says, Titus, I want to remind you why I put you there in Crete in the first place, to be the pastor of the church and to set things in order. By the way, the church of the people of Crete are not good people. It goes on and explains that they're liars so much that they're known throughout the Roman Empire as liars. If you want to insult someone, you say, you're a Cretan. That means you're a liar. You're a liar. They're known to be liars. How would you like to pastor a church full of liars? Hope that they're telling you the truth, right? They're just known to, they're just in the habit of lying. They can't help it. And while he's there in an island full of liars, he says, you take that church full of liars and you put things in order. Set things in order. Well, that was Titus's job. And so Titus labored and he worked there. He was also told to set, to ordain pastors into every city. By the way, that means on the island of Crete. That means from where he was working in the island of Crete, he was to start churches by wedding them to the Lord, discipling them, confirming the souls of the saints, and then to ordain elders to set his hands off, go, and get another church started. And with that, with the ordaining elders, remember there were no really Bible colleges or anything there. He had to disciple them himself. He had to win them to the Lord himself. He had to train them himself. And so what Paul had set Titus there to do was to find people, to train them, to disciple them, and to get them working. To win them to the Lord, train them, disciple them, get them working. And that's what Titus's job was to do, to set things in order, to win people, Lord, train them, disciple them, get them working. That's what his job was. And as far as tradition says, is that Titus labored in Crete for many years, and he died at an advanced old age, still in the island of Crete, trying to win those people to the Lord. As far as we could tell, he labored there. He's about 30 years old when Paul is writing this letter, 30, 40 years old. And he stays there approximately another 30, 40 years doing the same thing, setting in order and then winning people to the Lord, training them, discipling them, and putting them to work. This is who Titus was. This is someone he could be counted on, someone who had integrity, someone who was going to do right, someone who can be trusted. You know, we live in a day where church people can't be trusted. We live in a day where banks don't like to deal with church people. Why? Because we don't pay our bills. We live in an age and time now where people say, I'm a Christian, and people shy away because we can't be trusted. You remember the days when a handshake was all you needed? And now you need it in triplicate form over and over and over. And that's, they're still hoping that you're not going to take advantage of them. We live in a day where someone, a Christian who's supposed to be God's people, said they're going to do something and they don't. We live in a time where Christians can't be trusted. And that's opposite of what Titus was. He was someone who had integrity, someone who could do, who could be counted that he was given a task and he would do it. And there was no doubt in people's mind that it was going to get accomplished. So let me ask you, dear friend, are you a Titus? Are you a person of integrity? Are you a person that can be trusted? Are you a person that can be given a task and do what they were asked to do, and everyone knew it was going to be done? Or, if you could forgive the terminology, are you a modern day Christian where people don't know what they're going to get out of you? They don't know if you're going to keep your word. They're going to hope that you don't take them to the bank. They're going to hope that you don't take advantage of them. You understand that Christianity and Christian people have a very horrible testimony. And that's not to be so. We should be something different. We should be people who are like Titus, that could be trusted to do a job, trusted to do what's expected of us. Someone that everyone knows that's a person of integrity. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.